Let us begin this evening. I invite you to join with me in the candle lighting litany. Light of the world who arrives on a humble donkey.
Light of the world who arrives on a humble donkey.
Give us your hope.
Give us your hope.
Send us your peace.
Send us your peace.
Inspire our joy.
Inspire our joy.
Surround us with your love.
Surround us with your love.
For the journey to come.
For the journey to come. Amen.
Please join me in the call to worship. In remembrance we gather.
To be with the one who teaches us the meaning of faithfulness.
In remembrance we worship, lifting our voices to the one who calls us to love one another. In remembrance we feast, breaking the bread which makes us whole, drinking the cup which fills us with grace.
And all the soul will be washed their feet. hands.
No worries, we keep her to these. He loves me all, I ever must. In every word, in our Father's eyes, my throbbing hand is hard and closed.
Our scripture reading tonight is Matthew's recounting of the scene in the upper room. We are in the 26th chapter, verses 17 through 30. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.' So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, 'Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me.' And they became greatly distressed and began to say to one another, one after the other, 'Surely not I, Lord.' He answered, 'The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born.' Judas, who betrayed him, said, 'Surely not I, Rabbi.' He replied, 'You have said so.' While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. He was a man on a mission. One of the things I love to do during this lockdown is to get out and walk around our neighborhood and walk around parts of Birmingham to get some exercise. And as I was coming down the street, I saw this father pushing a stroller with a young child in it, and in front of him was his son. And his son was on his bicycle. The boy was probably maybe 7 years old, and he was on a mission. You could tell he was focused. He was moving. He was moving away faster than dad could keep up. And as I watched him, he zipped right across one of the side streets. And as he was getting to the other side, his father said, "Son, did you slow down and look both ways?" And without missing a beat, the boy said, "Yep, sure did, Dad." Let me tell you, I watched the whole thing, and that boy no more slowed down nor looked both ways than I'm 30 years old. I was thinking about that as I continued my walk home, and I thought, isn't that just the way we do things, though? How many times have we been asked a question where the answer really is in the negative, but we know that what people want to hear is the positive answer, and so we say, "Yes, sure." I probably can't count the number of times my mother asked me, "John Edward, did you clean up your room?" And immediately, without thinking about it, just right out of my mouth, "Sure! Yes, ma'am." And then I thought, I better go back to my room and see, because probably I didn't pick it up, and I better get there before my mom does. Just, that's kind of the way we are as human beings. We give the answer we think someone wants to hear without really pondering and thinking about whether it's the truth or whether it's real. And I have to say, for the longest time, that was how I thought about Judas here in the upper room, is I thought that this answer, this response he gives to Jesus is just that kind of response. He knows that that's what Jesus wants to hear from Judas. When Jesus is talking about, someone here at this table has betrayed me, and everyone's going, oh, it's not me, is it? Is it me? Is it me? And finally Judas says, well, it's not I, Lord, is it? It's not me. I thought, well, that's what we would all do. Even if we had betrayed Jesus, that's probably how we would have responded. But the more I've lived with this story, the more inclined I am not to give Judas a break at all. Instead, I imagine that if we could do a Vulcan mind meld with Judas and listen to his innermost thoughts, this is what we would hear, something like this. Jesus, you are going to get it now. I trusted you. I gave you 3 years, and you gave me nothing. We didn't get rich. We didn't get famous. We didn't become powerful. You promised this kingdom, and this kingdom is not here. And so now I am going to get my own, and you're going to get what's coming to you. Yeah, you don't know I betrayed you. You don't know I've sold you out for gold. But you're going down tonight. Chances are he thought he'd gotten away with it. He thought Jesus probably didn't know. But as we learn, Jesus knew exactly what Judas had done. He knew that Judas was the one who betrayed him. And so what does Jesus do? In that moment, when Judas lies to him, when Judas has betrayed him, what does Jesus do? He invites him to stay for dinner. Notice he doesn't kick Judas out. Judas is still at the table when Jesus pours the cup and breaks the bread and says, this is given for you for the sins of many. And somehow that doesn't seem to make a lot of sense, except, well, actually it does. It makes sense because if Jesus had kicked Judas out, Jesus would have had to kick out all the disciples. Because Jesus knew they were all going to betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him 3 times, that Peter would have 3 opportunities to say, yes, I was one of Jesus' followers. And Jesus knew he would deny it. All the other disciples would run away, scared, afraid. They'd hide out. So if Jesus was going to kick out Judas, then there wouldn't have been anyone but him at the table. And it makes sense not only for that reason, but it also makes sense because of what they were celebrating. They were celebrating Passover. And Passover is that great Jewish holiday where Jews remember that God gave them the opportunity to sacrifice a lamb and put the blood over the lintel of the door, and then the angel of death would pass over them and they would be saved, and Pharaoh would give in and let the people go free, that God would do this great thing for the people. But then they also knew the rest of the story, that when the people of God eventually get out in the wilderness, they begin by whining, we're hungry, we're thirsty. Come on, Moses, take care of us. Where's this God? Can't this God provide? And then the first chance that they get, they melt down the gold, they make a golden calf, and they worship it and not God. Now, the Passover celebrates Not just the freeing of the people, but the freeing of the people in order that they can betray God. And so what does that mean? What does that tell us? I think what it says is, y'all come. That this is a table for everyone. That this is a table for saints and for sinners. For those who are healthy and those who are sick. For those who have been faithful some of the time and unfaithful much of the time. For those who have lived up to God's expectations and for those who are fallen short. In other words, this is a table for real people. For imperfect, fallible people. Which is why, I hate to say it, we're invited too. Because chances are, sometime in our life, we have betrayed God. We have said something, done something, not said, not done. But that's okay. This table is still for us. Just as God stood with those in the wilderness and brought them into the promised land, just as Christ offered His body and His blood for those who would run away from Him, Christ still offers that love to all of us. And so, all are invited to this table. Don't have to be worthy. You're just invited. And now, let us join them in the invitation to communion, the responsive printed in the bulletin before you. Blessed are you, Lord our God, Creator of the universe, who brought forth bread from the earth.
Blessed be God, now and forever.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, Creator of the universe, who brought forth the fruit of the vine.
Blessed be God, now and forever.
As the grain once scattered in the fields and the grapes once dispersed on the hillsides are now reunited on this table in bread and cup, so, Lord, may your whole church soon be gathered together from the corners of the earth into your kingdom. Blessed be God, now and forever. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right for us to give thanks.
It is right and good to glorify you at all times and all places, and to offer you our thanksgiving, O Lord. Through your living word, you created all things and you pronounced them good. You made human beings in your image to share your life and reflect your glory. And then in the fullness of time, you sent your Son, Jesus of Nazareth, for the salvation of the world. Therefore, with the whole company of saints in heaven and on earth, with all creation and in all time, we sing to God's glory. Let us pray. Loving and amazing God, send down your Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine, that they may be for us the remembrance of the body and blood of Christ, and that in partaking we may be one body united in one spirit, with one mission, to bless your wonderful creation. In the name of Christ, amen. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he sat at table with his disciples, and he took bread, and he blessed it, and he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same fashion, after supper, he took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you drink from it, do so remembering me." And now together, the body of Christ broken for the world. The blood of Christ poured out for us ordinary people. Again, let us pray. Amazing and loving God, we are incredibly grateful that day after day, week after week, year after year, you continue to pour your love out upon us. That you feed us with bread and cup. That you feed us with your Spirit. That you feed us with community, even though we are separated to our own homes. You unite us into one body. Help us to be fed and transformed and renewed by this meal. Not only for Good Friday as it comes upon us, but for Easter morning, when we celebrate the greatest gift, the resurrection of your Son. Help us to continue to do the good, the right, that you have called us to do. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the grace, mercy, and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be and abide with each and every one of you from this moment forward and forevermore. Amen.